From the Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale, and this is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Good evening. Hey, Karen, why don't you tell us who we got on the show tonight?
Apparently my dogs. You hear them yapping there in the background? I don't know what they're up to, but sorry, folks, you're going to probably have to listen to them because apparently they're just all in a little bit of a bitchy mood. I made a pun. Anyway, so tonight we have Nightwalkers. Is it Nightwalkers Paranormal? Is that what the... I'm sorry, I have to look. We were talking about it because we were talking about how we allow all of the living dead and the zombies to come on our radio show, the zombie-named ghost groups. So tonight it'll be Nightwalkers Paranormal Society. I knew I was missing a word. And they are from Massachusetts. So we'll be talking to them shortly. In the meantime, how's your week, Rick?
You know, not too bad. We're actually finally now moved in to the new house, and I have carved out my man cave in the basement. I've got my computer in front of me. I've got my vast library of paranormal books to the left of me, and then to the right of me, I've got all my movies and everything. So it's like I am completely set. Not only that, I can also be as loud and obnoxious as I want to be, and I will not wake the future world's greatest paranormal investigator as he sleeps upstairs right now.
Sweet. So, yes, I have a cat scratching post to the right of me, and a bench with Jim's clothes piled on it to the left of me. So I am in absolutely glamorous surroundings. In the Karen Frazier studio, yes.
No, are you kidding me? It's, you know, if we have any listeners who are like 27 and still live in mom and dad's basement, they understand what it's like to be in the basement. It's the coolest.
Is it? See, our basement was really creepy. I grew up in a house that was built in the late 1800s, and it had one of those old cellar style basements.
Okay.
And you could actually, like, there was... as you would walk down the stairs, there was like a gap, a crawl space where all the dirt was, and then just this old, creepy basement, and it had this room in it that was really freaky. It was kind of, and we had our laundry facilities down there, so I had to go down there, and I was never a fan of that basement. If they had made me live down there, I probably would have cried.
Yeah. Well, you know, definitely the cellar style is the most creepy. We did an investigation in Gurnee, which is here in northern Illinois, a couple months back, and we're downstairs in this cellar, and all of a sudden we just see like this huge black shadow move across the wall. Now it's none of us; it's nobody from the outside, you know. But we did get a couple hits on the ghost box at night. We did collect a couple EVPs, so whatever was down in that basement definitely was that black shadow, and you know, definitely was talking to us that night. So it was definitely one of the cooler investigations. And besides, I love creepy basements and scary attics. I completely forget all my phobias if there even is so much as a chance of there being, you know, a ghost or, you know, whatever in one of these places. So yeah, I forget about spiders, and I forget about, you know, all that other stuff. So
yeah, so we investigated a house this past weekend, and it was from the 1850s or something. And it's a house.
Are there really homes that old in that area?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we're not nearly as wild westy and young as people from your neck of the woods think that we are. We're, you know.
Yeah.
And this is one of the older towns, and it's actually a really interesting town. There was what was called the Wobbly War there. It was on Armistice Day, and I can't remember the year at the time, but if you look up Armistice Day Massacre Centralia, you'll see there was a lot of hatred, discontent, and death. And actually, a lot of places in the area of that town, Centralia, and I don't live in Centralia, I live one town down, but a lot of places in this town seem to be resonating with the energy of this Wobbly War that occurred there about 100 years ago. And pretty fascinating story. And it does give a lot of good places to investigate because of it. So that's kind of cool.
Well, definitely if you have anything where there's been war and hatred and, you know, all kinds of discontent, you know, chances are, and all death or whatever, chances are, yeah, you might have something that, you know, some energy that sticks around in the area. You know, it's either, you know, residual and, you know, doesn't really care that you're there, or it could be even intelligent and does, you know, like, that does care that you're, you know, trying to be, you know, buddies and fun with it. So, but that's what's all about, you know, psychical research and investigation is finding out the why. That's my big thing.
Yeah, and for me, it was originally about finding out if it was there or not. Mm-hmm. And I haven't decided what it's about now for me, other than that I still want to do it. And and maybe it doesn't have to be about anything other than being there and experiencing it and, you know, moving forward. So.
Well, you know, in the previous show I was listening to it, they were talking about, you know, thrill seekers, and, you know, as a long time, you know, psychical investigator and researcher, I personally, I'm not going to say that I have a problem with thrill seekers, but, you know, if you're just looking for a quick thrill or a quick scare or whatever, you're in the wrong business, man. You know, it's all about, you know, finding out the what, the why, the how, and, you know, trying to, you know, find what's some, you know, the answers to the greatest mysteries that's been known to man, you know, ever since we lost the tail and dropped from the trees 2 million years ago. So that's really what this is all about. At least it is for me.
Yeah, and for me, it's not so much even about thrill seeking. I think it's about, for me so far, and, you know, I've shared some of the stuff with you that I experienced in this last investigation. So definitely in this one, at least, seems to me that what it's about was learning something about myself as much as learning something about the location. And,
right.
And that's okay, too. So, you know, I can make it all about me. I can make anything all about me.
You know, it's like I've always believed that we have, like, a symbiotic relationship between the physical and the spiritual world. You know, ghosts need us just as much as we need them. They need our energy to be able to, you know, maintain their presence here in the physical world. And we need them so, you know, we can have a better understanding of, you know, or even, you know, even to know whether or not there is something after this life. I mean, I've had so much confirmation just working with McHenry County Paranormal Research Group, you know, in the last 2 years, and I've had in the last, you know, 20 years of, you know, active investigation. So
Right. It's
definitely been, you know, quite a ride.
Right. So, hey, speaking about, you know, being close to death or almost dead or anything like that, one of our regular listeners and sometimes guests on the show is 1 year closer to death as of yesterday. So I wanted to wish Teresa West a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, happy Spirit Migration Day, Teresa.
That's right. So happy birthday to Teresa. And, you know, if any of others of you who are listening, it's your birthday, I'm sorry, I don't know about it. So, and also any of our friends who are in the path of, oh God, what's the latest hurricane's name?
Irene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, stay safe.
Yeah. Well, how about that earthquake in you know, our nation's capital a couple of days ago? That was, I had no idea that there was like a major fault line. And believe it or not, we actually felt a little bit of that here in Chicago a couple of, you know.
Really?
When that happened. Yeah, we felt a little bit of it. It was very strange.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know what I thought was interesting is it didn't take long for the preachers to blame it on the sinfulness of Washington Democrats.
Oh, is that what it is? So it's political. Yeah.
Well, of course, because God hates Democrats.
Well, you know, yeah, I don't even want to comment about that. I'm going to try and stay apolitical on the subject while we do our show, so.
I know. Okay, so we'll move on. So on Friday night, went to a President of the United States of America concert. Uh-huh. Boy, are they fun. If you ever get a chance to go see them in concert, because they're, of course, from the Pacific Northwest, and so, you know, they're kind of local boys. But if you ever get a chance to go see them in concert, it's really fun. There were teens there that just had a great time too. You know, their music is simple and doesn't really make any kind of statement, and it's a lot of fun.
Did they sing about peaches?
They did, millions of them.
Oh, they, Cheryl says that they thought they were Canadians.
Kitty sitting on the front porch.
Kitty sitting on the front porch.
Yeah, Kitty on the front porch. And they sang about lumps. Yes, and lumps. Volcanoes.
Cheryl thought they were Canadians. Yeah. I think that's pretty funny.
But what I was telling you before we came on the air is the really cool part was that Chris Novoselic was with them. Mm-hmm. And they did some Nirvana songs. And it was really great to see him. Great to see him on stage and doing what he does best. It was pretty cool. He and Chris Ballew, who's the lead singer of The Presidents, are mm-hmm. actually doing a kids band project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're working as children's performers.
Nice.
I know. So there's your Nirvana trivia.
See, and that's kind of what's great about, you know, up in the area where you live. That was such a musical revolution back in the early 90s, back when I was, in high school. All of a sudden, we went from listening to Iron Maiden to, you know, listening to The Presidents or listening to Nirvana. Yeah. It was probably the biggest thing in music since, 1950s when Elvis came out, so...
Well, and you know that, of course, my huge celebrity crush, the person that I would leave Jim for, is Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, but Eddie Vedder is actually from Chicago. He's from Evanston.
He lives up in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I know his neighborhood. I could go stalk him. I could. There's nothing stopping me. I'm just saying.
Eddie Vedder, look out, because there's a cougar on the loose. But
I don't think I'm much older than him. I think we're probably close to the same age.
Probably.
That's right. But, you know, he can get him a lot younger, so I guess that still makes me a cougar, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, with that being said, with Cougars and Eddie Vedder, and we're going to send it over to Cheryl. We're going to pay some bills, and everybody stick around because it's going to be live.
If you are a small business, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com. A proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, everybody. This is Lee Douglas. I want to invite all of you 50s and 60s music lovers to listen to Old Time Rock and Roll, the largest oldies podcast in the world today, with a 110,000 song playlist. Our shows are always available 24/7. Go to www.oldtimernr.com. We have two new shows each week, and we take requests and dedication just like the old days. That's oldtimernr.com. Come on over. Enjoy the fun.
Hi, everyone. It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
I had no strength, I had no faith, but I have changed to know. station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
And we are back on Paranormal Underground Radio. We are your hosts, Karen Frazier and Rick Hale. And tonight joining us is going to be Nightwalkers Paranormal Society out of Massachusetts. Tonight we're going to have Colleen Quinn Beltramini. Correct, Colleen?
Correct, Rick.
All right. She is the founder. We also have Jeff Durrett, lead investigator.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Jeff. Oh, I thought Jeff said that he was here tonight. Well, you know what?
He did. Maybe your inner psychic ear heard it.
That's probably it. So anyway, we have Nightwalkers Paranormal Society here with us tonight. They're going to be joining us talking about their various investigations and their time in the field. And from what I understand, you guys also have some EVPs for us to listen to, correct?
Correct.
Love EVPs. And I also have to say that also, apparently tonight, whether I want him to or not, Karen's dog will be on the radio because he won't shut the bleep up. So, sorry.
He's our special guest.
Well, you know, we are trying to find a good home for him because the reason that he won't shut the bleep up is that he hates teenagers and our house is constantly full of them. And so he spends all his time in fear, and whenever any one of them comes near him, he poops himself and runs. So it's a great situation for the poor thing.
Strange indeed. Well, welcome to the show, Nightwalkers Paranormal Society. And
yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the underground, as we like to say. So, you know, I visited your guys' website a couple of days ago, and I was really impressed. You guys have done quite a bit, quite a few investigations. You know, some real significant places in your area. Where exactly are you guys located in Mass?
We're actually out of the Bridgewater area of Massachusetts on the South Shore.
Oh, okay. All right, right on. So, you know, let's talk a little bit of, you know, we'll start with Colleen. Colleen, you know, I always like to find out with, you know, people what brought them to this field. You know, did you as, you know, the founder and lead investigator of Nightwalkers Paranormal Society, did you have, you know, like that one really awesome experience that brought you into this field?
I actually grew up with weird things happening my whole life. And I never quite understood. And as a teenager, girls were reading, you know, Cosmos and stuff. And I was in the public library reading ghost stories. So, yeah.
Hey, me too. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, same here. I was like 8 years old. And they're like, yeah, here comes that weird chunky kid again asking about ghost books. So who else is with Mike, correct?
We have Mike Markowitz.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Mike. How about you? What brought you into this field? Do you have that, you know, one thing that was, you know, really wowed you and blew your mind?
I did, actually. I had an epiphany that brought me into recording.
That's okay.
Basically, all I do is audio recording. I listened to a file that was played on one of those little micro cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a recording of a woman screaming, and it's on Halloween at a Halloween party outside. A perfect setting, you know, it was absolutely perfect. And I had the headphones on, and once I heard that scream, the woman just screamed. I mean, it's a fantastic recording. And,
yeah.
You know, even today, I mean, I got tons and tons of recordings, but even still, it's one of my favorites. And that scream just bore its way into my brain. And I knew at that moment when I listened to that, that I was going to go get a recorder and I was going to start. And, trying to see if I could get these voices too, and that's it. I haven't stopped since. About 2 days later, I went out and got a cheap Radio Shack model, started recording, and I started getting the voices, and I haven't stopped. And now I've got thousands of clips, and it's just it's been quite a trip.
But you never forget your first EVP, do you?
So sweet.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, how the whole science of electronic voice phenomena even started. It was Friedrich Jurgensen back in, the 1950s. He was just innocently taping bird calls while on vacation, and he's getting, like, you know, voices on, you know, tape. So, you know, that's usually how it starts with pretty much anybody.
Yeah, any kind of recording device,
mm-hmm.
We'll pick them up, so. Right. It's your ability to discern between noise and speech and, pick them out.
Right.
Yep.
Sometimes they're quiet, sometimes they're not,
Sometimes they're weird and unintelligible, but you know that nobody made that noise.
That's right.
Yeah. So I see you guys investigated Mercy Brown.
Yes.
Oh, so why don't you share that story and what you found out?
There wasn't too much to it. Actually, I think only a few of us went out, and it was in the middle of February. And if you're from New England, you know it's really cold and there's a lot of snow.
Ooh, yeah.
So we heard the stories. We heard about the history. We heard about, the heart being buried separate from the body, et cetera, et cetera. And we went out and just checked it out. It was mostly during the daytime. We got a few little EVPs, but nothing that actually could be broadcast because they're probably a BC. But it was fun. It was unusual to see a headstone that actually was concreted and bolted to the ground. I have never seen
that. Wow.
Yeah. So many people visited and tried to take parts of the headstone, or that they actually had to take a big stainless steel, it looks like 4 or 5 inches thick, and put it around the whole stone and then bolt that down with a big piece of concrete.
Oh, I actually can see, I think, maybe a little bit of the stainless steel in the photo you have here on the front page of your website, which is nightwalkersparanormalsociety.com for anybody who's listening and wants to see some of the things that we're talking about. They actually have the Mercy Brown picture on the front page of their website.
Now, what I want to know is, was that put there to keep the grave marker there or to actually, keep the body of Mercy Brown in, assuming, of course, she was really a vampire?
I believe it was more so because they had so many people coming there and trying to, believe it or not, you had people that probably wanted to dig her up just because of who she was and the history.
Right.
They had a lot of vandalism. And then they had a lot of people that would just leave things on the stone, gifts, presents, just odd things. And it got to be to the point that they were afraid that somebody was actually going to try to probably just take the headstone.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Security reasons, and it's a very small cemetery. I mean, if you blink, you drive by it. It's probably got 200 stones in there, maybe. Small.
See, now with Mercy Brown, from what I understand from, my research into all of the, strange, unusual, and wonderful stuff. Now, from what I understand with that is that she actually, her whole family and pretty much the entire community, they were being wiped out by some kind of disease, and it was more or less tuberculosis, correct?
There was a big, TB, there was smallpox out here, there was a few things. Actually, kind of took over the area,
Right, but she was not the first to actually die, so from this disease in her family, why is it that they picked her specifically? It's like, hey, this chick's on Team Edward, man, so it's like, we're just going to dig her up and drive a stake through her heart and whatever. Why exactly did they blame it on her?
Still trying to wonder that myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We do have another person here. You guys know that we have Brian Mello here as well.
Hi, Brian.
Oh, hey, Brian.
How are you?
Good. So the other thing I'm looking at on your front page is this church in flames. And it says that some people see the devil in the flames. I think I'm going to need a devil orientation because I'm not seeing anything.
It actually doesn't. What it is a lot of people just look for the face. And I don't have the website up currently, but if you look to the left, you're going to see what looks like a body wrapping around the church. You'll see the arms. You'll see the legs come down.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hold on a second. I got to get there. Now, where am I going to...
The whole thing. The whole thing is the devil.
Yes.
Now, where exactly am I going to find this?
It's on the front page. Just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see a church burning. Is that a local church?
Yes.
Okay. What caused the fire?
I am not sure. I actually had a friend who knew I was in this field that gave me the photograph and actually said, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this. And I said, you know, I'll just throw it up on my website and, you know, people can take a look and judge for themselves. So.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and actually it does. It has a tail and it has a forked tongue.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That is really cool.
I'll be darned. Okay, so and then you also have a investigation. Your website says coming up called the WHOSAC? The WHOSAC tunnel. So what is that?
It's an old It's actually a railroad that still exists, but it was. I think 1820 somewhere in there. A lot of people died actually constructing that. So that's.
Yeah.
Seems to be a hot spot because there are a lot of people that actually built that railroad that died at the hands of trying to construct it through collapses and through. So there was lots and lots of deaths reported just trying to get it constructed.
Okay. And so are there reports of hauntings there then?
Oh, yes. Yes. There's EVPs we pulled out of there too. So, yeah, there's a lot of groups that go there, but it is still an active railroad.
Okay.
Very dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how do you not get killed?
Well, first you're not really supposed to go in there, to be honest with you. But there is a train schedule. You know what I mean? And people do go in. And if you Google it, you'll see a lot of people that do go in and check it out. Usually it's during the daytime, and you try not to spend too much. I mean, you use your brain and common sense.
Right. Sure.
Well, what kind of, for people who aren't really familiar with the WHOSAC tunnel, what exactly, if you were to go there and take a walk inside or even just around, what is it that you're, you know, you might possibly experience?
Shadows, voices, you'll hear what sounds like somebody actually hitting the railroad ties with a hammer, echoes, there's a lot of moisture in the tunnel, so you'll hear a lot of water. Dripping, okay. That type of thing. It's there's a lot of breezes that come out of nowhere.
Uh huh. Okay, so
hey, Rick. You know,
Rick, you all right?
No, you know what? I'm like I said, I'm in the basement. And my, you know, the missus and her friend just came in through the basement door.
Did they scare the crap out of you? Earlier, he thought he was hearing voices through the baby monitor. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw that movie that just came out where the baby monitor, and all of a sudden you hear "I want a soul" over the baby monitor. It's like, wow, holy crap! I really don't want to hear anything like that when the future world's greatest paranormal investigator sleeping upstairs.
I know, right?
Eric.
So, all right, moving right along. Sorry about that to our listeners as well as to our guests.
I was a little worried. I was going to call 911. I thought maybe you're having a heart attack.
I thought I was about to have a heart attack. You know, it's really weird. It's like dealing with spirits and ghosts, and I've dealt with some really nasty ones in the past. It has nothing compared to what could possibly physically be coming in. So, you know. Moving right along. So you guys have actually done quite a few investigations, a lot of them I'm really unfamiliar with, except for the Armory and Rose Island Barracks. You know, let's just go down the list. The Judah Baker Mill.
Mm-hmm.
History and phenomenon behind the Judah Baker Mill.
There is actually the only history to it is that no one else was allowed to go in. We got permission through a committee. And we just wanted to check it out since nobody else had actually been in there. It was a mill that was built, you know, a long time ago. There was one family, I think, that ran it at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of, I guess, children type of activity around it. So we just had to go in and check it out and see, you know, what it was all about.
It's kind of a neat building. I'm looking at, you have a lot of pictures of it on your website, and it's kind of cool. So it was the windmill, but it doesn't have the windmill part. Does it still have the windmill part attached to it?
I don't believe it does. No.
Okay.
It's right in the water. So I think what happened is the windmill part probably, I think, had some issues, and being that close to the water, they didn't want to ruin it. So they took it off to repair it.
Okay, yeah. I think I killed your website. Now I can't go any. Oh, there it is. All right.
I'm going to have to fix that. Yeah, I am the webmaster too, so please don't do that.
Well, I don't know how I would, you know. It's probably because I'm on a Mac and Steve Jobs quit today, and so that means they're all going to stop working.
Oh,
mm.
It's like Verizon.
It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny about that investigation is that there was a lot of names that came out of the EVPs. Yeah, mm-hmm. They were saying my name, but I'm haunted anyway. Every time I record, someone says my name. But
really?
Oh yeah, it's been happening for years and years. So, but anyway, I mean, there was names like Brian and Kenneth Walter. You know. It's just strange how like there was a lot of names. Typically, you don't get people's first and last name like that, you know.
Yeah.
But it was cool, you know. There was someone who said, "Isn't Colleen cute?" So they were obviously talking amongst themselves, and it came through. So that was kind of neat, you know.
it said no.
No, it said, "Isn't Colleen cute?" Is what.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So I guess that does last over into the afterlife thing.
Means something, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it was cool though. I ended up getting a bunch of clips. Just looking at my notes that I have of that one, I got about 12 pretty decent EVPs out of it.
Okay. So okay.
And it was a very small area. It wasn't very large at all.
True.
Yeah, we were, you know, I think it was, you know, I don't even know, probably 400 square feet. It's very tiny,
Yeah, watch it.
So do you go in then in just groups of one or two when you are in such a tiny location like that?
Yes, we'll leave some people outside or at their cars. Depending if they're going to interrupt recording, then we're going to send them as far as we can away from the location. If it's a small location with a small exterior. Just so that, you know, nothing gets polluted with voices or our voices outside walking around. So, yeah, we do try to keep it and switch off if it's really, really small.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
All right, so Taylor, I'm sorry, I'm getting so much feedback, I'm almost not able to talk to myself. I have Taylor Brayform in Yarmouth. Tell me about that.
That one actually we didn't get to do as long as we wanted to. It had a little bit of a history, but the day that we went to do that investigation, if you look in the pictures, you'll see it was cold, it was raining, and it was uncomfortable to investigate. It got to the point that the wind picked up so bad that, you know, there was no audio that we could do. So we did the best we could for about 45, 50 minutes out there, looked around. The structure has a big farmhouse and a big yard, but the house adjacent to it was actually having a wedding function go on that night. So we didn't really want to hang around too long just because there was too much going on and the weather didn't warrant us to be there for a really long time. So we're hoping to go back there and check it out when things get a little better.
Yeah. You guys get really cold winters there, don't you?
Yeah. We're going to get a hurricane soon, so.
Are you guys in line? Are you guys in the line of that?
Straight up, yep.
Oh dear, when is it supposed to hit?
Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. I think is the worst.
Yeah.
We experience 100 degrees or more difference in our seasons.
Holy crap!
Yeah. So
I live in the Pacific Northwest, where we experience about 5 degrees difference in our season, and it's still raining.
And our roads reflect that too.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? Here in Chicago, man, we can go from being 40 degrees up to 95 degrees in just a matter of 3 or 4 hours.
The
Midwest is worse than us.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the bowl of the United States. Gets all the cold weather from Antarctica and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a picture of you guys in an ancient cemetery, and it's a really neat-looking cemetery. What can you tell me about that, please?
I love that cemetery. It's down in Yarmouth. Every time I go, there's EVPs crazy. I've gone there 2 or 3 times, and I always seem to pick up the same little girl, whether she's humming, singing, laughing, all the time. It's just there was a big influx of smallpox. So the middle part of that cemetery, there's a lot of children that are buried that passed away from that disease.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah. I tend to go down there and just walk around for hours, 2-3 hours every time we get down. But it's a very big, big cemetery. It probably would take close to an hour and a half easy to walk through the whole thing. And it's, you know, it's got its segments where it's historical, and then it's, you know, the newer parts toward the front. Mm-hmm. But it has a lot of history. It has lots of families that were built that started New England, the Alden family and such. You know, some of the founders of our area, they're buried, you know, within that cemetery. So it's really kind of cool to just go and visit. And what's more cool is you go and you record, and you always get this same little voice that appears. And I've gone years in between investigations, and it's still, she's still there.
I like the repeatable stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry about this. I'm getting, like, really bad feedback. So a lot of these EVPs, do you guys feel that these are intelligent or, you know, just, you know, some kind of residual energy that's stuck around?
I think most of it's intelligent. It interacts with you. My sense is most of the things that you can see could be residual, and I know sounds can be residual, but a lot of the sounds to me interact with you.
Right.
So a lot of EVPs tend to just interact with, you know, the situation that you did. And sometimes what's really cool is you could think about something and not necessarily talk about it, and you'll get an EVP in regards to things that were going on that nobody really spoke about, you know, if somebody tripped or tried not to talk, and, you know, you get some little blurb about. So it's kind of weird. So, you know, something is going on where somebody's seeing something.
Right.
You know what I mean? But Mike's actually really, really good in this field. He actually wrote a book, and he'd be great as a guest in your another further EVP electronic voice phenomenon. You'll see it on the website, and it actually comes with a CD of EVPs. It's really cool. So if anybody's out there, check it out. It's on Amazon. He's really in depth with EVPs. I talked to him a few hours, two nights ago. We were doing a residential. It was a little boy was having a problem sleeping in his bed, so he came and checked it out with me, and we got how many?
10
EVPs. So he's really good, and he breaks things down into layers. And if you read the book, you'll see it. But he, I'm telling you, just talk to him for a few hours, and you'll just be second guessing everything you ever thought about.
Well, do you guys do many residentials, or is that something that's rare?
No. You don't have a lot of people just because this field blew up, you know, when all the TV shows came out. So to get an honest-to-God one, it's not as prevalent.
Right.
They're still out there. But you Google paranormal, you know, group in mass or paranormal, what you're going to get so many hits of so many groups.
It's just saturated.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad because some of these groups, I don't want to say aren't worthy, but they're not worthy. And they...
They tell
your clients things that are just not true, and I don't know what they're out there for, to be honest with you, but if you can't help the person that's calling you for help in an honest way, then you need to rethink what you're doing.
See, and I'm so glad that you said that, because whenever we have groups on, it seems like a lot of groups that we have had on, a good deal of them are all about, you know, helping, but we have had a few groups on that are, you know, they're more or less about just the thrill-seeking aspect, or, you know, they are the ghost hunters, as I like to call them.
Or they want a TV show.
Or they want a TV show or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. That's probably not
going to
help.
Right.
Who's qualified to give help to somebody? In a field that you know hardly anything about.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You want, watch TV and you got these people who are invoking spirits where they have no idea who's on the other side, how they can be hurt by the stuff. Mm-hmm, they're not really giving help to anybody, you know? No, yeah, no, they're not. Yeah. They do more harm to themselves and the family just by because they're there and they're provoking stuff and they're acting like jackasses in the name of some kind of professional group that they belong to. It's absolutely ludicrous. The stuff on TV just needs to be turned off.
Yeah.
It's not the way real life is.
No, it's not.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I also see that... Sorry about that. I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. You know, you have to be able to, you know, to be qualified to help someone, you have to give some data, you know, and all the data that you have. And you really can't help the family, but what are you going to say is, well, this is what we got. Okay, we got X amount. We got nothing, you know, a couple things on video. We got stuff on VPs. This is what they said. Here's a copy. Here's a write-up. You know, here's everything. In our estimation, it's, you know, the strength of the EVPs, really strong, really active, or... No, it's just quiet. They're talking amongst themselves. This is one night or it's two nights of investigation. You know, the 16 hours of recording. This is all we can come up with. Can we say it's haunted? Every place is haunted. Just a matter. It matters how you collect your evidence and what you can pull out of it. It doesn't matter where you are. So is it interacting with you on a regular basis? Well, you know that better than us, but we're just giving you some evidence. You know, you can say that, but that's it. To sit there on one night and say, oh, my God, your place is haunted. It freaks the family out.
How
do you know it's haunted? One night in a place and you know it's haunted? Or you say it's not? Right. It's not because you had no interactions? No, oh, you didn't get an EVP, so it's not haunted. Yeah, oh, my God. Well, I get fired up. I'm sorry.
No, because I mean, I feel the same exact way. You know, you can't go into somebody's house like a lot of these television shows. And I think we both know the main one we're talking about is that they go into this home and they're like, they don't experience anything. So they just tell the homeowner, your house isn't haunted. Well, that person lives there 365 days a year. They've been living there for like 20 years and experiencing the same thing over and over again. I think it's kind of arrogant to go in and say, well, we debunked all this stuff, considering the fact that they don't, you know, you're going to use the word debunk. You don't even really know the proper definition of the word debunk, and usually it involves ridiculing that person while trying to disprove whatever it is that they're experiencing.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah,
we're going to go to a break early because I think I know what's causing the feedback, so we're going to see if we can fix it. So let's go ahead and go to a break a little bit early, get this feedback taken care of so that you and I can actually have a conversation with them. And we'll be back in just a minute. Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
I know what you are. You drive too fast. You smell so good, and you dress fashionably well.
Say it out loud.
You're a metrosexual?
Oh, why do I always get that? I'm a radio show host.
Kale, I want to be one of them.
And you can be. Join me on ztalkradio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. The show's called Perspective.
Hey, do you sparkle?
Oh my God, don't even start. Hang on, Spider Monkey.
Hi, it's John here from Haunted Cornwall FM in the UK. We will be on Z-Talk now on a Sunday afternoon from 3 till 5 Eastern. We do talk all about the paranormal. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's paranormal. Audience are invited to get involved. If you've got questions, ask, because we've got a superb team that will be able to answer them. We don't sensationalise, we just tell the truth. However, if we find out there are fakes about, we will name and shame them. You've got to listen in to Haunted Cornwall FM from the UK on Z-Talk, 3 till 5 Eastern.
Thank you.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
All right, and we are back at Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com with Karen and Rick, and we are here tonight with Nightwalkers Paranormal Society. I just want to apologize, everybody. We had to go to break early. We were dealing with some major feedback, and we know what the problem was. It was all Mike Markowitz.
It was. It's all my fault. I confess.
Oh, my God. So, hey, you guys, I was looking on your website, and you have a lot of really interesting equipment on your website. And I noticed one of the things that you have are those laser grids. Do you use those in investigations?
They're awesome. Sorry.
Yes, we do.
And what kind of results have you had with them? Because I've kind of had some really interesting results.
We had one investigation at the Stetson House when we first got the laser grid, and we set it up. And it was weird because I could see this form past the lights, but it just blurred them in the figure of a human. But it was almost like taking transparency paper, cutting it out in the shape of a human, and passing it by the grid.
Wow, cool.
That's what it looked like.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen somewhere it's just some really strange things happen. What I've discovered is if you can set it up in a room and then sit really far away from that room and look down into it, it's a lot more effective than if you're right there and really close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah. So the Stetson House, tell me about that.
I had a friend on the Historical Commission, and I asked if we could check it out because nobody was in there. So we went in and just checked it out. We got some EVPs. It was very interesting, very historic. We got to see a lot of cool things in there because it's actually a museum as well. So there's period clothing in there and everything set up, you know, as it was in that time frame. So it was kind of cool to go through there at night, you know, with a little flashlight and see these costumes, you know, fully dressed costumes as you turn your flashlight.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was really cool. It's a nice historic place. They've done a great job at keeping it up. And it was our first investigation as a newly formed team, so it was a really cool location.
So let me ask you this. Do you guys find that when you go in an area where they have all of the original costumes and mannequins dressed up, do you feel that there is like actual like more activity in a place like this, you know, with all, you know, the Singapore theory and Eric Hughes and all these kind of new theories that are coming out in the paranormal field right now? Have you guys had those kind of experiences, you know, more paranormal experiences with costumes and, you know, mannequins dressed in costumes?
Personally, I don't think so. No, I think if things gonna attach itself to something, could be anything. It could be a bureau. It could be, you know, anything. It doesn't have to be a period item.
I don't know, but when I die, I'm not hanging out in Old Navy.
Maybe you will. Maybe you'll have
you jeans. Know, I like a good pair of jeans, but, you know.
No,
well, you just outed yourself as a major yuppie, my friend.
I'm just using another example, but you know what I mean? I mean, some people think that, you know, specific objects can hold energy and, the, you know, I'm sure there is some energy there. Whether it's human spirit, I think that's another case for another topic for discussion. But yeah, I think that some energies can be contained within certain objects. But because people obviously pick up an object and they can hit the nail right on the head and say, oh yeah, this is, you know, this belonged to so and so, and you know, this is back 200 years ago, and they were completely right. Well, how'd they know that? By picking something up. So there is some kind of a connection on there. As far as spirit connection goes with people, real people who passed over, I don't know. I think if they're in a location, they're in a location for a reason for themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
But I also think, too, sometimes some of the locations that you go to, if it's an area like a museum and you do have a group that's going in, having some of those objects there may influence, you know, that sense of, ooh, the place kind of feels eerie. And I think you need to, if you're going to take a professional approach on everything, you got to kind of separate that and just really focus on that it's just objects and not allow it to kind of get you all creeped out, I guess, the best
way. But it could also help to open you up as and make you more sensitive to it. Your senses are a little bit more on edge, and you know that. I think that's going to happen regardless of who you are.
Yeah.
It's creepy walking in with a bunch of mannequins and clothes on and stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah. Definitely, I think it helps to open you up a little bit. Yeah.
See, now I like that you guys mentioned that, because I did notice on your website that you do have a member that does work as an active, you know, sensitive or intuitive. Have you guys always, you know, kept to the, you know, accepted paradigm that's been around for 130 years of organized psychical research? Of, you know, working with psychics?
I don't know. I think it helps to have that point of view. Where, mm-hmm. What's a real kicker is when you get some supporting evidence in the form of EVP, when they say, oh, there's something there, and then you pick up a recording. In fact, it happened at the grist mill. Vaughn had said something. I can't remember what it was, but there was a voice that came out when she said there's something there. I remember what it said, but there was definitely an EVP right where she was saying, yeah, there's something there. So whatever she was feeling, whatever she was seeing, there was an EVP to corroborate it. So I think it can be very helpful to have a psychic on board, you know, a medium who can feel and sense things.
Sure.
Doesn't hurt.
No, absolutely not.
I think we're still learning. I think everyone out there is still learning. There isn't anybody that could say that I know without a question. You know, there's no question that I can use this K2 or I can use this meter or if there's an activity occurring, I know that I'll be able to pick it up. I think every situation is different, and you know, it's a different case every time. So mm-hmm. I think to be open minded and accept the idea that, like, why not go and bring everything that you got, you know, and
guns
blazing and just see what you can get out of it. I mean, especially in a residential kind of a setting, I feel as though we're trying to give the client all the information that we possibly can give them. And if we, because no one can prove or disprove that it works or it doesn't work. So, you know, why not bring everything to the table and say, you know, this is what we got. Here's the voices that we received. Here's the heat fluctuations potentially, or here's the field readings that we got. And we also can back it up by the claims of, you know, this particular person that sensed this or kind of detected that. And we were able to back it up with additional evidence to that. So again, you know, offering everything that we can, and then, you know, leaving it, you know, this is what we feel that we have here or don't have here, and then putting it into the client's hands and at least giving them something more than what they started off with.
Right. So it sounds like you guys take the complete approach then.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Okay. So you mentioned the Baxter Grist Mill. That is one that I'm not really familiar with. I don't know. Karen, are you familiar with that one?
I'm sorry, my microphone was on mute. I was coughing.
Oh, that's okay.
I normally tell you that, and this time I thought, nah, he's going fine. I don't need to tell him. And then you catch me. I don't know the Baxter Grist Mill either.
Yeah, can you guys like fill us in a little bit on that one? You know, for me as a psychical researcher, I'm all about the history of a location. I love to know the history. What is, you know, the history behind this particular location, and what is the phenomenon that you guys have experienced there?
This was also another location that was built in 1710. Mm-hmm. Somebody from the commission was nice enough to join the team. Her name is Gina. She just came aboard to help us with these locations. She's not a team member, but she's somebody that was on the committee that was interested in what we did, and she believed in us, and she got us access. And if you're in this field, you know it is not easy to get into these places, especially historic locations. Most of the time, historical societies are going to shun you just because of the liability that they have things, you know, in there that they just don't want people in there looking at, especially at night. So first we have to thank Gina for letting us into these really great locations. The grist mill was really, really small. Like I said, built in 1710. There was only two floors, and it actually had the waterway that was still, I think it would function if they got it going. Mm-hmm. But another building, it was probably 400 to 500 square feet. I think the first level was below ground level.
Yeah, and two floors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the way the wheels worked and the way the grinder was upstairs. Still mm-hmm. had the grinding wheel from 1710 still there. Everything worked. It was repaired and it was rebuilt, and it ran back in the early 80s, and then they shut it back down again, and it's just been kind of like a tourist thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's basically the end of it. It just kind of sits there, and they maintain it. It was just one of those. It's just one of those really cool sites. It's just so old.
Yeah.
You know, over here, you know, 1710 is really old. You know, over in Europe, that's brand new.
Sure.
So
well, you know, they have outhouses that are
take advantage of the old places where you can. You know.
Yeah.
One of those.
Well, cool, we don't have 1710 here in this part of the world. So.
Yeah.
I was actually just sitting here thinking, wow, I would love to live in a place that had so many old things, because, you know, we get about the 1850s, and that's about as far back as you're going to go.
That's pretty old, though.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
My house goes back to 1830.
Wow. Mine goes back to, like, about 2000.
There you go. Nice and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Straight floors.
No, but I have to agree with you. There's not many places that you can just walk over and stand in a cemetery with people who actually came over on the Mayflower.
True. We're lucky. We're spoiled.
Yeah, I am rather envious of your history, and I would imagine that living where you do, you have a pretty good sense of history as well.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. There's all kinds of monuments. The old cemeteries. I mean, you go by some of these small towns and you see a placard that's out there, and it's, you know, it says, you know, 1790, you know, circa 1790, or, you know, early 1800s. And then, you know, go down another town, and it's the same thing. Like, a lot of rural towns, they just have these cemeteries that go back. I mean, they're just so old. Some of them just the stones in the ground.
Literally.
Because they go back to the 1600s.
Slate. Just pieces of slate, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
Slate, stones. A big stone for the head and a little stone for where the feet is, so you know where the body is oriented.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those. That was before they had headstones over here. They couldn't afford the stone carvers.
Wow. That's amazing.
So those places are good to investigate.
And not to mention a lot of the Native American burial areas, and there's just so many things. You can literally just... You
trip know, over them.
Trip over so many different little nooks and crannies that we have out here. So
awesome.
Well, if that's the case, then you should be haunted by poltergeists, because I understand that Native American burial grounds are always the source of really frightening activity.
I am haunted. I had the exact same thing happen.
Karen, are you serious?
Do you think did I? I'm sorry. Did my sarcastic voice not work?
No. No, but she spoke the truth. Both Colleen and myself have had that happen to us.
That you've tripped over things, and then you're haunted. I have spooks that like to follow me from locations and come home with me, but it's always kind of transitory. They come and go from my house, and I know that they're from the places I've investigated.
Yeah. Have they attacked you?
No. Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. I've been, like, poked and you know, a little pushing, a little poking, and things thrown at us, but nothing. So you've been attacked, huh?
Both of us have, yeah.
Oh, so that sounds like a story that would be good to tell on the radio.
Go ahead,
late on us.
Start that one. Since I opened up the can of worms, and Colleen's going to start it.
Yeah, this was probably back about a year ago or 2 years ago. We went to a location. I'm not even really sure where it came about. I just know that probably the preceding 3 to 4 days, my demeanor changed, and I wasn't the same person. I'm usually very optimistic, upbeat, upgoing kind of person, and I became very pessimistic, introverted, didn't want to talk, didn't want to communicate, and I honestly didn't know what was happening to me. By the fourth day, I decided that, you know, this isn't me. I don't know what's going on with me, but this isn't me, and I have to become me, and I just kind of gained my personal strength back. But it was funny because I was talking to Mike about this about 2 nights ago, and I told him about this weird thing that happened, and that's where we got into this discussion. So.
Yeah, and she came out the other side because she recognized, you know, this stems from an interaction during an investigation, and she realized within herself that that's not her. That's not the way she normally is. And I think through that understanding of, sorting it out and figuring it out what happened, she basically healed herself from all that the negativity that got inside of her. And I had almost the identical experience myself during an investigation in Connecticut, except I felt physical human hands around my head and my neck squeezing me at the time, and the feeling of being held upside down with all the blood rushing to my head. Mm. And for a whole week, I had nothing but gloom and doom, fear, very high anxiety, lots of sleepless nights with lucid nightmares, really, really bad nightmares, night terrors, and very realistic dreams that were just very bizarre, very scary. And it lasted for about a week. And then after a while, I'm like, wait a minute, you know what? That's not me. I don't agree with this. This has to stop. And I kind of figured that, you know what, this had to have been some kind of interaction that I had with the investigation. When I felt that presence, that black, inky, negative fear slipped into me when the interaction occurred, when that thing squeezed my head, like got me in a huge chokehold or something. Well, some [S2] Sure. [S1] Of that information came across, and that information was what that thing was made out of. And that was one of those black shadow people. That's [S2] Oh. [S1] what the family was talking about that was haunting the house. And so I had an interaction with one of those. Mm-hmm. But it stuck with me. And when I finally came to realization that that's what it was, everything slowed down, it cleared out, and I was back to myself within like one day.
Yeah, Rick's
so that kind of stuff happens. Like if you're provoking and that happens and you don't recognize it, guess what happens to you? If you don't recognize it, you don't snap out of it, who knows what the end result can be? Another teenage death? I mean, who knows?
See, and I go into investigations really, really wide open, and that's actually, I understand, a fairly dangerous thing to do.
Yes.
I was telling Rick that we had this investigation that supposedly had some pretty dark elements of it just this last Saturday, and as I was driving to the investigation, I stopped to get a drink of water, like some water and something to eat on the investigation and stuff, and my receipt came to $6.66, and I thought, that's so funny, because I don't believe in humans, demons, things like that, but it's still something you note, and it's kind of interesting. And then Rick got a text in the middle of the night, although he ignored me, and I asked him a name, and it was like, because it was this name that kept popping in my head, and Rick said it was a demon name.
Well, no, Karen. Well,
no, you sent me the thing, and you said don't say its name.
Right, I'm not going to say its name, but it was definitely an ancient the name of an ancient Sumerian fertility god, which I think is kind of strange that an ancient Sumerian fertility god would show up in modern day Washington State. So
I know it was kind of weird, but it was this name that it kept pushing in my head and pushing in my head and pushing in my head, and it was an odd thing.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of the new guy to the group, so I mean, I've only been doing this. This is Brian. I've only been doing this for a couple of years, so I haven't experienced any of the things that that they have, with exception of growing up in my home. My parents, I mean, it was a new home that was built. I mean, but again, I don't know what it was built on. I mean, if there was any type of old burial sites or anything like that. But I know that as I was growing up, there was always things that were occurring. It seemed as I got older, what occurred just became greater and greater, to the point where I'd see a shadow in the corner of my room at a specific time every single night, and it kind of got to a point where I'd wake up and I would have three scratches like across my back or across my chest or in areas where there's no way that I could reach my hand around, and you'd get the random welts, and all of a sudden and it was always three scratches, but I'm just glad that doesn't happen there anymore. But I haven't experienced anything to the extent that they just referenced.
Well, that was pretty. That still sounds pretty.
That's
still physical. Major. Still physical attack.
Dramatic. Yeah, it still sounds pretty major. So, you guys have sent over some EVPs, and Rick and I do the EVPs a little differently. We like to turn it into a game because we're highly competitive against one another, and I'm winning.
And yeah, Karen's actually up on me.
I am. I'm winning. And so what we do is we have Cheryl play the EVP, Rick and I guess what it says, and then we have you tell us about it. Sound good? Great.
All right, Cheryl, we're ready. We're ready for the game.
There's more than one person here. Can you give us your names?
I'm going to need to hear that again, please.
Please.
If there's more than one person here, can you give us your names?
Derek?
I just heard what sounds like rumbling drums.
That's actually our investigative Jeff Durrett, director. He was asking if there was anybody there. Could you give us your names? And then there's a long pause, and then there's George.
Oh, okay. We need to go to the judge on this.
Check. No. Derek is not even close to George.
But I still got a name.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, but I figured it was a name, too, because he asked, what is your name? And there was a little sound. So, no.
Wait, okay. Who did you want to go to for the judge?
I wanted to ask Chad, but I
wait,
don't
wait, wait,
Chad
wait.
Can't.
When did Chad no, become Cheryl. The judge?
Because Chad never really talks on the air unless
the
we're doing
judge.
Like the lightning round, so he gets to be the judge.
I'm
Chad.
The judge.
No, Cheryl is the
I'm
judge.
The
Come
judge.
On. Derek and George aren't even... They don't even
Rick,
have any of the same sound.
I'm sorry, Rick. No go.
Okay. All right.
Can we hear it again now, though?
Yes, you can.
If there's more than one person here, can you give us your names?
I don't even know how you managed to catch that. And here it's so soft.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Somebody in the chat room said it sounded like John. Okay. So 0-0. Next.
Anybody in this hall would like to say something?
Okay. I know where to listen. Let's listen to it one more time. I know exactly where it is. I just don't know what it says yet.
Anybody in this hall would like to say something?
It okay. says it twice. It repeats it twice.
Why don't you something, something, something?
Yeah, why don't you go, and then it says it again. Why don't you go? Or something like that.
We'll go with that.
Bingo. So what is it actually? What?
Yep. Oh.
That was what it was? Why don't you go?
Yeah.
Oh!
Oh, so we both get that then, right?
Did you both say
That's
it?
Right, 1-1.
Yep.
Yeah,
we did.
I got
one
the
one.
Go, although he just said bye to me. So what was where did you capture that and what were the circumstances?
What did you guys capture?
I think it was in Southern Mass. I'm not sure. It was in a residential.
Okay.
Okay.
Some people don't want, you know, the areas pinpointed, so I have to protect.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
That's fine. No, I totally understand that.
It's so cold. I was in the basement sitting next to the heat and just peeing.
You're talking about the ball, and are they talking about in this room? Because I was calling, she was in there.
Okay. She was flashing over there.
Yeah.
I know you were flashing over there, but I didn't see anything on this one.
Is John up on the third floor?
He was on this room. Hands.
That's the second floor, yep. Nobody's at the third floor and you're seeing stuff?
I need to hear that again. Does it actually start off?
Actually, I wouldn't run it that long. The clip's kind of long. It probably shows up in the first, like, 30 seconds.
I was going to say, does it start off with an EVP?
It comes pretty close in the first, yeah, probably first 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
It's so cold. I was in the basement sitting next to the
it's right there.
Just...
It's right. It says, yeah. Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you got it before me, Karen.
I actually heard it the first time, but I wanted to make sure that that was where it was. Yeah. Okay. So 2-2. Rick got it too.
No, I didn't. I'm giving that one to you because you said it before I did. So it's all you.
It's all me. Okay, what do we have? One more or two more?
One, I think.
Okay. I need to hear it again. I hear hi, I know.
There's so much background noise.
Yeah. It's actually, you hear a suitcase that has a big key lock on it. And then you hear how you doing, I think, and then it says hi, how you doing, all right. Something to
that. I was close. I had hi. But
yeah,
I thought
it says how you doing.
I thought it was I know. Hi, how you doing? Okay, let's listen to it again. Yeah, the hi is the clearest part.
Yeah.
Karen, you win again.
Woohoo! Well, okay, what do I get? What's my prize? You guys did know you were supposed to bring a prize for me, right?
Oh, okay.
No, actually, Karen, the prize is that you just proved to the world that you are a bigger nerd than I am.
I guess I could just
sort
it.
How can you not love EVPs?
What's that?
I know.
How can you not love EVPs?
I do love EVPs. That is my absolute favorite thing about investigations.
Back before I did this, I would go like to all the websites that would have the different EVPs on them, you know, maybe like 7-8 years ago, back before this was really popular, but there'd be the websites that would have the EVPs, and I'd listen to them, and I'd just kind of go, because it was so awesome.
I would always watch the ones on TV in the beginning. I don't watch anything now, but in the beginning, and then they'd go, oh, they're saying this, and I'd be yelling at the TV going, no, they're not saying that. You're not even close. It used to just frustrate me.
Yeah, sometimes I think that their accuracy on the whole TV thing is really a little, you know, I think that they shape it to their investigation a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You show up to an investigation and you capture everything that has been said that has been haunting that location in one night. Really? Pretty good. What are the odds?
You don't think that happens?
No. Hardly ever. Oh, my God.
So what do you think about the high-level provoking that some of these groups do, like the guys from Ghost Adventure? I mean, they go in there with really high energy, and they do some seriously provocative stuff that if I was a ghost hanging out, it would piss me off, and I might react.
Well, here's the thing. They always get the same-sounding EVP. You ever notice that?
Yeah. Mm.
The other thing is, where are all the other voices? There aren't any because they customize their EVPs for the show. They're paid actors, number one, to provide a product. And they're actors. They're not real paranormal investigators. They're actors performing to their contract, first and foremost. And if that means they have to fake the evidence, then that's what they do. And they become accustomed to doing it that way because it's easier and it takes less time. And the people who are in the know understand that because they can hear the evidence that they, you know, say is real on the TV screen.
I haven't watched a ghost show other than I did watch a couple times the John Zaffis one that I don't like a couple months ago. I watched it, but I haven't watched any of the ghost shows in probably at least a year, maybe longer.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
I think that if he of the big muscles actually really did experience, you know, what an inhuman demon, as they call it, I think that he would probably run screaming like a little girl and while wetting his blues. So
hey, Cheryl, they would appreciate our Real Men of Genius ad.
They would. They would appreciate they that. Would. Maybe I should hook it up.
Have you guys heard our Real Men of Genius ad?
No,
I'm sorry.
Cheryl,
okay, hang
Cheryl
on.
Will pull it up. Pull Cheryl it up. Will pull it up while we talk. She'll let us know when she's got it. So I have to tell you, I actually had an actor. It's probably been 2 years, more than 2 years, 2.5 years or so ago now, approach me and want me to consult with him to do a paranormal TV show that was basically him interacting with ghosts. And I told him, I don't want to do this if you're going to make stuff up. I will not be involved with that. Oh, no, no, this is legit.
Yeah.
And, but, so, oh, no, this is legit. So we got to a location, and he had a little red laser pointer with him that he, and he would say, what's that red dot? And people would be like, you have a laser pointer. And he'd say, no, 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 I don't.
Oh, God, that just hurts the field. Jeez.
It really does. Well, but you know what, though, in the same light, you know, taps and, you know, ghost hunters, they did set the precedence for some kind of a structured way of doing a paranormal investigating.
And that's where it ends.
For the public to understand.
Yeah, the tools that you can use to do it. And it just kind of went on longer than it needed to. But it became its own animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. Everything else that came after it is just, you know, on the tail of
copycats.
So. Yeah, you know.
Okay, so
it's entertainment.
In the vein of that, we would like to present our Real Men of Genius commercial.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal TV Show.
Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal Show.
You wear your beans with pride and your t-shirt three sizes too small, even though you have the body of a 98-pound video game nerd. Every location you visit may have a gift shop and thousands of visitors, but somehow you still get possessed by something evil.
You're dragging me straight to hell.
It may look like a bug to the rest of the world, but to you it's a demonic orb. And it wants to eat your soul. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Overly Dramatic. Your acting may not be all that great, but you sure look awesome every time you see yourself in the mirror.
Mr. Kyle wants his own paranormal show.
Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Now, that has...
Good job. Very
that
good.
That has absolutely nothing to do with Zach Bagans or Ryan Buehler there at the
No.
Oh, no.
No, actually, you know what's really funny is there's a guy locally who is just dying to get his own paranormal show. So everybody in the paranormal community, when they hear that, they say, oh, I know who you're talking about. And they're right. But Rick swears it's about Zach Bagans, but it's not. It's about the guy who wants to be Zach Bagans.
That's great.
I would play that for Zach Bagans. I think he would think it was hilarious.
He would.
See?
I doubt.
Yeah, so that was my husband was doing the voiceover, and then Teresa West, one of our members' husbands, was doing the singing. So talented men, let me tell you. So anyway, yes. So we're about done with our time because we have another little segment we do at the end of the show. But I wanted to have you guys have the opportunity to give out websites, talk about upcoming investigations. You mentioned, I know that there was a book in there somewhere. So anything that you wanted our listeners to know, now's the time.
I'm going to start off with Mike. So go ahead, Mike.
Okay. If people want to pick up my book, you can go to Amazon.com and you can use my name, Mike Markowitz, to do a search or pull up EVP, Electronic Voice Phenomenon, Massachusetts Ghostly Voices. It's from Schiffer Press, and comes with a CD with a whole bunch of cool voices on it, and you can pretty much listen to a lot of voices and a lot of different sounds, so you can kind of get accustomed, especially if you're just starting out, of what these things sound like. Interesting book, a lot of theory in it and stuff, but it's a fun book. It was a good time writing it.
And you'll be where September
25th? September 25th, there's a paranormal and psychic fair down at the Seaport Inn down in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. I'll have a table down there selling books, and I'm going to see if I can squeeze my way in and do a possibly see if I can do a little presentation as well.
Great. Yeah. Very good. Cool. Okay. Next.
I'm just actually trying to find some more cool historical locations. We have a few outings. And, you know, if residentials come in, we stay busy with that. We've got some new team members aboard. We're going to get them trained. We're going to learn from them. We, you know, we're a very open and united with the paranormal field. We don't believe that our members have to be solely our members. We have members that are in other groups or from other groups. The more knowledge you can bring into a team and the more opinions and ideas you can bring into a team, I feel personally the better the team will be. So we're in the middle of doing all those things right now. So hopefully we'll get to visit with you guys again soon. I saw you guys back in 2009 with Cheryl, and now we're back in 2011. So
very good. Okay. Very cool. So now anybody else?
Yeah, it's I got nothing. I'm the new guy. I got a Facebook page. You know that.
All right, go. Brian, that's just it. Go back in the corner where you belong, buddy.
You know, Brian, soon you will be as accomplished as the rest of us. All right, you guys, thank you so much. I'm really sorry about the technical problems that we were having. I'm glad we figured it out, though. It went a lot better, the second part, didn't it?
I have to mention that we will be on Paranormal Underground Magazine in upcoming, I think, maybe October, November.
Cheryl, do you know when it is scheduled?
Yeah, not yet, but yeah, look around October, November. It'll be right around then.
Very good. Looking forward to that. Okay, hope you guys will come back. Now that we know what causes the feedback, we can do it better. We can do it better next time.
Sure will.
All right, isn't it weird that it was I thought it was kind of weird that it was the sound guy who was actually causing it.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? The sound on this end was perfect. Yeah.
I'm sure it was. So thank you guys so much. And what we'll do is we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have the lightning round. I wrote the questions this week. I let Cheryl take. Cheryl and I have been sort of trading off. She's been letting me take a break. But we've got some fun lightning round questions, including a new lightning round feature. What did I call it? Like the super lightning round or something?
Super duper lightning round.
The super duper lightning round. So we'll be back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio in just a minute.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
That you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the Z-Talk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating in frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We actually have our guests are sticking around for the lightning round because neither Rick nor I managed to insult them while they were with us. So occasionally we have guests that make it through to the end, and apparently we upset Brian because he did leave.
Yes.
But Anne is now with us. Anne, I'm sorry, what's your last name?
Carrigan.
Okay, we have Anne Carrigan with us now.
Great, another Irish person. Another Irishman.
Oh, it's teeming with Irishmen.
Okay, so the lightning round is really simple, and then when we get to the super-duper lightning round, it'll be pretty self-explanatory. So all we do is with the lightning round is that I'll read a question, ripped straight from the headlines, of course. And you have just a couple sentences, couple lines to answer it. I'll say your name when it's your turn because, you know, otherwise we get a little, we speak over each other and stuff. And I'll let you guys listen to Rick and Cheryl the first couple questions so you sort of get the flow of it. Although I will expect you to answer the first couple questions. So are you guys ready? Here we go.
Sure.
So I have to get my computer closer to my face because I'm getting old and can't see. All right. So this is actually my favorite news story of the day. Reuters reported today that a spill of frozen bull semen, the animals, not the basketball players, shut down highways near Nashville. So the semen was in these canisters, and they emitted light vapor and an unpleasant odor, which it actually turned out was just like dry ice or something. But everybody panicked. But once they realized that it was just bull semen, it's only bull semen.
That's all.
The worries turned
into a free-for-all?
Yeah.
Everyone trying to get a withdrawal out of the sperm bank?
No, you're not supposed to answer yet.
Anyway, oh, sorry. A formal question? All right, yes.
Their worries were calm. So this is what I want to know. I actually think bull semen is a rather frightening substance, and I want to know what substance...
You mean the way you get it, or...?
Yeah, any or all. I just want to know what substance you might find that is more frightening than bull semen, and we will start with Rick.
First off, I think it's kind of ironic that you go from talking about flow to bull semen. Secondly, wasn't that how Queen Anne died from having sex with a bull? So only she would know about bull semen. No, I can't think of anything more terrorizing than the idea of bull semen. Could you imagine the poor woman that you know, like accidentally slipped in that? 9 months later, she has a kid with bull horns coming out of its mouth.
She has a minotaur. That's right. She has the minotaur. So, Cheryl?
Oh, Rick, is this Queen Anne story true?
No, actually, it was a Russian empress. She allegedly died from having she was having a horse lowered on top of her,
and she was having sexual relations
with the horse, the pulley broke, and then the horse crushed her to death. So,
I'm really sorry I asked that question.
She came and went at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
that's pretty frightening, Karen. But I'm going to have to say that, you know, that substance that a slug or snail leaves in its wake, that stuff's kind of frightening.
I would have expected zombie spit out of you. So you surprised me. You continue to surprise me.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mike, you seem to have an opinion on this.
I got an opinion on everything.
Yes,
the only thing I can say about that is I just don't want to be part of the cleanup crew. Do you use a squeegee or a mop? I mean, how much are we talking here? Are we talking 55-gallon drums or are we talking a canister?
They said that they were like propane-sized canisters.
Holy moly.
I know, right?
Well, I have to say, can I voice my opinion yet?
Yeah, I'm
yes,
done.
Please do.
Okay, well, I would have to say the cleanup on that would definitely have to be a suction job.
Oh, you are going to get us fired.
That's how they obtain the sample to
begin with. Oh, that's right.
Hello. So that was Colleen who said that. Is that right? That was Ann. Okay, so Colleen, it's your turn.
I'm not claiming that one.
Shop vac, maybe.
Okay, so it's your turn now. This is just the first question, you guys. Okay, Colleen. Do you have an answer?
What, am I supposed to ask a question back?
No.
I don't know. Colleen is contemplating bull semen, I think.
Oh, she's supposed to respond.
I just happen to know that the only thing more gross than that is probably just vomit, because I can't even be around it when anything gets sick.
I hate that word.
Even the word sounds like what it is.
What if it was bull semen tainted with bull vomit? Would that really be true?
Can we move on to the next question?
Karen, let's go.
All right. So start off with bull semen. It's always going to spur that conversation right on. All right. So Yahoo News reports that the Robonaut that NASA sent up to the International Space Station is awake. It's not moving. It'll move next week. However, it did tweet today. So it sent out a Twitter message, which indicates to me that it has given in to the mass delusion that people have on social networks where they think that everybody is hanging on their every word. You've met those people. You know who I'm talking about. So what I want to know is, what non-human would you like to see posting tweets on Twitter? And we will start with Cheryl.
What did the Robonaut tweet, Karen?
Oh, my God. I was afraid you were going to ask me that. I don't remember, but it was something about, these electrons feel good or something.
Oh my God! Okay, I love that. That's awesome. I have to say, I think it would be really cool if the Mothman would tweet. I think I'd like that.
Yeah. Rick, who would you like to see tweeting that's not a person?
First off, this scares the living hell out of me, because now I'm afraid that the Robonaut has gained sentience and will one day kill us all.
Me too. I thought that too.
Possibly.
It's like Trapper Keeper from South Park, you know. What non-human object would I like to be posting updates on Twitter? Probably the... You know what? Forget it. Because not only am I going to get in trouble with the show, but I'm also going to get in trouble with my wife. So I'm out.
I know exactly what it is. All right. I didn't know she had one of those.
What do you mean? Okay. A toast?
Yeah. So let's go with Colleen. Who would you like to hear tweet, Colleen?
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Pillsbury Doughboy. Very good. So, Mike?
I like to see Bigfoot tweet.
Yes.
Here I am. This is Bigfoot, y'all.
Not hanging out in the cooler.
Suckers, I'm real.
All right. So, Anne, how about you?
How about Hal? Hal.
I can't do that, Dave.
Yes.
All right, so the next one is that the New York Times reports that a team of Her Majesty's geologists, in other words, Aussies and Brits, have uncovered 3.4 billion-year-old fossilized single-cell organisms. So pretend, if you're not, that you are a creationist, and if you are not a creationist, or if you are a creationist, then you don't have to pretend. I would like to know how you would explain that as a creationist. Let's start with Mike.
Explain the fossil?
Yeah, how would you explain a 3.4 billion year old fossil if you believe the world is 6,000 years old?
You can't. you really can't. You could say it's just, you know, a design in the sand. Obviously, you know, you can date the fossil and it is what it is. I'm one for science, so
okay.
You know, not one for religious ramblings on why I'm here.
So, Anne, if you believed the world was 6,000 years old, how would you explain this 3.4 billion-year-old fossil?
Well, I'm definitely not a creationist, so... No.
You think that's in the Bible?
No.
You think of the opposite?
I think the opposite. I believe in evolution.
Evolution, yeah.
Science. Couldn't explain. I'm with Mike. I wouldn't even begin to know.
Jesus is toe prince. I mean, what do you say?
There you go. So, Colleen, could you explain it as a creationist? I'm not calling you one. I'm just asking.
No, I don't think I could.
All right, Cheryl.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, Karen.
I
can't believe you wouldn't know this, but it actually came from a meteor.
Universe is only 6,000 years old.
There's no explanation then if the universe is only 6,000 years old.
I think we've reached an impasse.
Yeah.
Rick, do you have an explanation?
Well, you know what? We're going to have to go to the finest minds on this subject. You know, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, and Pat and we're going to let them try and explain this. You can't. This obviously proves that the world is much older than what it is. And I'm going to say the same thing that His Holiness the Dalai Lama said about evolution and whatever. Interesting.
There you go.
One word.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to skip the next one and go to one from my apparently home country. Canada.com reports that the town of Surrey, British Columbia, is opening a new human library. Instead of books, patrons can check out people to pick their brains about their experiences. So if you could check out anybody from the library, who would it be? Who haven't we started with? Anne, have we started with you yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so who would you check out from the library, Anne?
Julia Child.
Oh, yeah, you bring her home to cook.
Yeah.
Heck,
I love
yeah,
to cook, so I could have some.
I do,
really
too,
good
yeah.
Dishes.
Yeah, I have. I actually have like a cooking and foodie blog, so yeah, I'm right there with you. So, Colleen, who would you check out from the library?
Don't say Kermit the Frog.
DM, he took it from you.
Oh, man, you took my answer.
Nostradamus, me.
There you go.
Ooh, that'd be fascinating, too. So how about you, Mike? Who would you check out?
Michio Kaku.
Who's that?
He's a physicist.
Oh, okay.
He's awesome. I give him all kinds of theories on EVP. Let him listen to my files and see if he can figure it out.
Okay, cool. So, Cheryl, how about you? Who would you check out from the library?
I'm checking out a lot of people because my library allows that. So I'm going to check out Albert Einstein, Leonardo da Vinci, Mark Twain, Lucille Ball, M. Night Shyamalan, Robert Smith, and Will Ferrell.
Wow.
Hopefully I can keep them
really
for a couple weeks.
Put a lot of thought into this.
You
didn't leave anybody else to take
out. I'm sorry.
With Cheryl's list, is there anybody that you could... you know, add. Who would you check out?
I would check out Jesus because I really
want
to know about like this 3.4 billion year old fossilized single thing. What I have to say about this? Because apparently, not only does he not believe in evolution, he doesn't believe in gay marriage, and he thinks other things like that. So I definitely would want to take his brain.
Okay, I gotta tell you that the historical Jesus is nothing like the Jesus that we've turned him into. I've done a lot of reading on the historical Jesus, and he was the original liberal, radical, you know, progressive. All right, so moving on. Just a sec, I can't see my thing. Okay, according to Reuters, Bo, the Labrador Retriever from Montana, is better at math than I am. He counts, he divides, adds, subtract, and has memorized some square roots. I want to know what would a dog be better at in school than you were, Rick?
Bo already has it on me. God, I was terrible at math, so, you know, may the gods bless him.
Mike, what would a dog be better at in school than you were?
Humping the teacher's leg.
I was not aware that was a subject.
The dog would be let outside.
Oh, you should have seen some of my teachers. Humping the teacher's leg probably would have been preferable.
Oh, God. Okay, so Cheryl?
Definitely math. That was my weakest subject, so okay. I'll go with math.
All right. Colleen?
Yeah, definitely math.
Wow, so it's almost unanimous. Anne?
I missed the question. I'm sorry.
I want to know what a dog would be better at in school than you were.
Oh, gym.
Okay. So we have a bunch of maths, one gym, and one, of course, humping the teacher's leg. All right.
Who said that.
I don't know. I'll go back to the one that I skipped. Last week, we talked to Marie D. Jones, the author, who I just think is really an interesting person. And one of the questions that I asked her, I'm going to ask you now. And that question was that what would people in the future, anthropologists 4,000 or 5,000 years down the line, as they're uncovering our civilization, what impression would they have of what was important in our society? Cheryl.
I mean, basically, they're gonna think that we're based on power, money, technology, that kind of thing.
Okay, Rick.
Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com.
That is important. That is very important in society. That's right. Colleen?
I don't know, probably technology.
Okay. Mike, what do you think that anthropologists would think was important to us?
Definitely technology, since it's like quadrupling every year. You know, I mean, what we know now is like so much more than what we knew 10 years ago. It's absolutely crazy how much bits of information that we're discovering on every level. You could just imagine in the future, you know, 100 years from now, what is it going to be like?
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to figure, just to touch on this just for a second, it's just, if you think back, you know, 500 years goes by, not much changes.
Mm-hmm.
But in our lives, just our lives alone, now that little span, a lot has changed.
It's amazing.
You talk to somebody who's 75 years old, and look how much change they witnessed.
Oh, yeah, my grandfather was 98 years old when he died.
There you go.
Imagine what he saw in his lifetime.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine what people in the future are going to look back and say, wow, these people experienced huge change.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. So, Anne, what do you think?
Water bottles.
Yeah, there's the garbage, the Pacific garbage island.
They're going to look back and go, what was with the water bottles? Okay?
Yeah.
They're freaking everywhere.
And my theory is that people are going to look back and they're going to believe that Harry Potter was our Jesus. And that you know, werewolves and vampires were the forces of good and evil. And, you know, I have a real fear. Okay, super duper lightning round.
Uh-oh.
This is really easy. You have a choice. I'll give you two names. And here's the order we'll go in. I won't even call out your names. We will go Rick, Cheryl, Colleen, Mike, Ann. So everybody know who you go after?
Okay.
Okay. I'm last.
Okay. Was I first on that? Or?
Rick, Cheryl, Colleen, Mike, Ann. All right. So here's the question. And I'm going to give you a series of names. Who would you prefer to send on a diplomacy mission to an alien planet? First set, Rosie O'Donnell or Snooki?
Rosie.
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 All right, Rosie wins. Same question, any of the Real Housewives or Paris Hilton?
Oh.
Rick, you're first.
Paris Hilton.
I draw the line, none of these people can go.
You have to choose.
Wait,
you
have to Karen,
choose. Paris Hilton, Karen, if I have to choose.
Karen, this is a Justin Bieber free zone here. You
know that's next. I'm sorry. Okay, but I'm waiting for Colleen's answer.
I was going to go with Cheryl D, none of the above, but if I have to, I guess I got to go with Paris.
Okay, Mike.
I'm going to have to go with the Housewives. That's just bad behavior.
Oh, Paris.
All right. Okay.
I mean, she's cute.
Yeah, okay, next pair, I'm sorry, Rick. Justin Bieber or Rebecca Black?
I have no idea who she is, but I'm going to go with Rebecca Black.
It's Friday. Got to get...
Bad choice, Rick.
All right,
it's got to be Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Are we sending Justin another Bieber. Person?
Yeah, Bieber.
Oh, yeah, Bieber. Send Bieber. Oh, Jesus, the other girl would make people throw themselves off cliffs and things.
Okay, ready? Heidi Montag or Sarah Palin?
Heidi Montag.
Oh, man.
Heidi Montag.
We're to Colleen. We've got two Heidis.
Heidi.
I'm sorry, but that's a twofer.
Oh, you're sending them both. Ooh.
Yeah, Andy. They're both gone.
What a choice. What are we doing with them? We're sending them
on the diplomacy mission to an alien planet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just to get them out of here.
Oh, take Sarah. All right, yeah.
Okay, Lindsay Lohan or Mel Gibson?
All right, assuming their last names don't end with Stein or Berg, I'm going to go Mel Gibson.
Me too, Mel Gibson.
His mind's already gone. You might as well send him too.
Okay.
Let's go with Mel.
Let's send Mel.
He turned out bad.
Yeah.
We are getting surprising consensus on this. Okay, ready? This is the three first, so you have to pick one of the three. Jennifer, George, or Mario Lopez?
I hate Mario Lopez. I'm going to go George.
George Lopez.
Colleen?
Who's George?
He's a comedian. The George Lopez show.
Well, yeah, comedian.
He's funny as heck. I think he's hysterical.
No, he's not.
George Lopez is a racist.
So my
is he really?
Are you sending George Lopez?
George. I'm deporting George.
Anne, who are you sending?
Yeah, George.
Okay, so Jeff Dunham and his dummies, or the situation.
Jeff Dunham.
Rick, you keep taking my answer. I don't want to go after you anymore.
So you have a, you're a Jeff Dunham too. Okay, uh-huh. So Colleen.
Dunham.
Okay. You know what? Gotta get rid of the situation. There's just no good there at all.
These people, these aliens are going to hate us. They send these people.
See, if they're not here, they're somewhere else. We're better off.
I guess. Yeah.
They're just going to ship them back to us anyway.
Yeah, really? And did you answer? I'm sorry.
I'll kill you. We'll send Jeff Dunham.
Okay. Celine Dion or Perez Hilton?
Perez Hilton because he's talented.
Celine Dion because you have to have a little entertainment.
Are you going to give her up? Celine,
I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's going to be our forgiveness. You know, sorry for all those people we sent you, so we'll have to send Celine.
She'll sing you back.
Yeah, sorry.
As you're dealing with all of the above, Celine.
Okay, guys, I have two more pairs, so we got to go really fast. Don't make me call out your name. Let's do this. We can do this. Zach Bagans or Jason Hawes?
Jason Hawes and keep him.
Zach Bagans. Send him back.
Zach Bagans.
You send Zach.
Jason.
Oh, we are kind of... Okay, last one. Ready? Eric Cartman or Peter Griffin?
Eric Cartman.
Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin.
Oh,
Peter Griffin.
I have one more. I'm sorry. Karen or Rick?
Definitely Rick. He needs to be anal probed.
What was it?
Karen or Rick?
Oh, I cut Rick off. I'm sorry, Rick.
I'm going to go Karen.
Yeah, and Cheryl sending you. Which one of us are you sending, Colleen?
Eric.
Sending Rick. Mike, who are you sending?
Oh, my Lord.
That's terrible to make us send our hosts.
I know. I'll go with Rick.
No, I was trying to say, who's that guy that never comes on air?
Oh, Chad, you want to send Chad?
Yeah, Chad.
Chad, okay.
Yeah. Chad's right, going.
I'll just put a name sticker on and say, my name is Rick.
Okay, guys, so we just have a couple minutes left. Thank you so much. That's how you play Super Duper Lightning Round.
Thank you.
Do you think we should do Super Duper Lightning Round again, Cheryl and Rick?
Yes.
Totally.
Okay, totally. All right, so next week, who we got, Cheryl?
Next week we have Jill Marie Morris. She's a spiritual medium and clairvoyant, and she's also going to talk about her book, and oh my gosh, I should have the title. Oh, here it is, 207, A Personal Account of Love, Paranormal Activity, and Demonic Possession. It's a non-fictional account, so she'll be on next week.
Okay.
Make sure to be here.
All right, so come back next week, Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. We would like to thank our guests, Colleen, Mike, Ann, and Brian, who left early and missed all the fun. So we'll talk to you next week, Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.